This is OTB AM.
This Liverpool team are going to coast to a league title. Fair enough, that's a great achievement. But that Man United team were an all-time great because they weren't playing very well early in the season.
Does Everton have to happen in the same period of time, though? Did Liverpool not have those elements of that team?
They have to win the Champions League. They have to win the Champions League this year. But not if they're... To equal Manchester United's treble season, they have to win at least the Champions League in the league, right? And you could say that by not winning a cup, if they don't win a cup, then they're not... It's not as good a season. Man United are always going to be able to say, we won a treble. Did you win a treble? No.
OTB AM, Ireland's only sports breakfast show. Weekdays from 7.30 AM, only on OTB Sports Radio. Live 24/7 on the Go Loud app. The OTB Podcast Network with Virgin Media. Catch all of the UEFA Champions League and Europa League games live on Virgin Media TV.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
Here's Risha Littlejohn and Niamh Fahey talking about their trip to the Ukraine and discussing what they learned from facing Germany when they lost 3-0 last time out.
How far do you think you are off challenging these teams?
Look, we've got a wee bit to go, but in terms of how far we've come such a far way since I've been in the squad. You know, most girls now are at professional setups, they're at professional clubs, and that's massive, you know. It's so important to be training every day against good players from all around the world. You know, there's not just English and Irish players in certain teams. There's, you know, there's foreigners from everywhere, which is huge. You know, you get people that are physical, fast, strong. You get people that are more technical. So it's, you know, it's great to be testing yourself against these kind of players. But, you know, for the women's team, you know, we're making huge steps going forward. But obviously we need to keep pushing, and you know, the next step will be to compete against Germany and, you know, trying to get results against them. But, you know, I don't think we're too far off it, but all in good time.
Obviously, qualifying for a major tournament would be a massive step for the squad to take. And that's what's on the line on Friday. The fact that a draw would be good enough for you to get second place, is that something that can be a little bit dangerous where you're kind of stuck in between how to approach the game?
Yeah, look, We know Ukraine, they're a strong team. You know, they've got really good players in their squad. So it's going to be a tough game. You know, to get a draw would be massive for us. I think for us, we need to just focus on, you know, not switching off, not getting complacent. You know, they're very good on the counter. They've got fast players. So we'll be aware of that. And, you know, we hope we can deal with it and manage it well. But we're just focusing on going into the game as best prepared as we can. So.
All right, best of luck on Friday.
Cheers.
Rihanna was talking yesterday about how she expects Ukraine to be a lot different. And it's something Vera mentioned earlier in the week about how maybe they underestimated you at Tala last year. Have you had a chance to look at their more recent games? Because that was what Vera said. It'd be more looking to judge what they've done in their recent performances rather than trying to compare them to last year's game.
Yeah, we've had a look at their recent game against Greece. They won 4-0, and I suppose Shakir is right, where we probably went under the radar a bit against them that early opening game. So we're expecting a lot different challenge this time, but we'll have our homework done as well, and we'll be ready for the challenge.
And now that obviously there's so much on the line on Friday, there's an expectancy, but and that brings a pressure, but it must be a nice pressure to have to be in this position that there is something so big to play for.
Definitely. I think as a player playing at the top level, you want to be in these situations, you want to be in the scenarios. And for me, pressure is a privilege. So, it's something everyone is looking forward to, and is hopefully we get the, you know, right results so we can get to the playoffs.
And just on the video sessions, is that something you enjoy as a player? Some players like it, others probably just rather get on the pitch.
It depends how long it usually goes on for, and my answer is usually judged off that. But if it's not too long, and they generally don't tend to be, it's something that's a really helpful tool. Can help you, you know, just give you that extra added bit of information that helps you prepare mentally as well before you actually step on the pitch. So yeah, I personally don't mind them, and I think most of the group actually get a lot of benefit from them.
Donal McAleer has been in touch to say, greetings from Helsinki, lads. Keep up the good work. Thanks for being with us this morning, Donal. If you're watching from anywhere around the world, give us a shout and we'll let everybody know. So far, we've had Helsinki, Abu Dhabi, Florida, Sydney and beyond as well. Even Manchester being in touch with us this morning. So we are talking about the Republic of Ireland against Ukraine. Kickoff is at 5 o'clock on Friday afternoon. I'm delighted to say Lisa Fallon is with us this morning to talk to us a little bit about this and some of the other stuff that's going on in the world of football. Lisa, how are you getting on?
I'm good. How are you?
Very good. I think the nervous tension is building up around this, given how excited everybody is for the fact that there's going to be a tournament on our doorstep. And this is an Irish team who we think would do well at a tournament, certainly with the level of build-up and the amount of time they'd have to prepare for it and the confidence they would get from it. So this is the knife edge where it's, you know, it could go horribly wrong if Ukraine win this game. If we get a draw, chances are we're going to finish second. If we win, there's still an outside chance of us qualifying automatically. So as big games go, this is about as big as it can be.
I think this is the biggest game the women's national team have ever had, to be quite honest with you. I think, you know, they've got themselves into an incredible position, but rightly so. I think we've had brilliant players in our squads over the years who never got to a major tournament, and it's such a shame. But this squad of players, I think, is probably our best squad of players ever. And I don't say that lightly because we've had incredible players before. But collectively and as a unit and with the structures that Vera has brought in and with Eileen Gleeson alongside her, I think, you know, this is the best, very best opportunity we've ever had. And, you know, we're in a fantastic place in the group. But at the same time, Ukraine is going to be a really, really tough game. I actually co-commentated on the first game in Dublin, the 3-2 game. And I think, you know, the musings from the camp saying that the Ukraine probably underestimate them, I think are bang on. Ireland were 2-0 up in that game. Ukraine got back into it. And, you know, we probably saw a little bit more after we went 2-0 up. We probably saw a little bit more of what the Ukraine are about. And certainly their performances recently would indicate that they've improved as well. And they certainly, this game is not going to be a foregone conclusion by any stretch of the imagination.
Lisa, a lot of Ireland football fans coming to the women's team for the first time over the last 6 months or so, they'll have seen that game and they might have seen the Germany game. For new fans coming, what do we expect? What style of play? What's our formation? And if this is the best squad we've ever had, who should they be looking out for?
Yeah, I think we've got some really, really exciting players, particularly in the forward division. We've got the likes of Denise O'Sullivan, who traditionally plays her football in the States, but she's currently on loan at Brighton in England. And she's playing there alongside Rhianna Jarrett, who is a striker. And Rhianna has come from Wexford. So Rhianna is a player who has had an incredible story. She's done her ACL 3 times. She's come back. She's now in her mid-20s in the prime of her career, and she's absolutely flying. She's been top scorer in the Women's National League, and she's been scoring regularly. She actually scored in the last game against Ukraine. So she scored the second goal. So Rhianna Jarrett is a player to watch, and she's made the move in January this year over to England, to Brighton. And it was her first time really to move into professional football. So with my team in England there in pre-season, we actually played Brighton in a pre-season friendly, and Rhianna played brilliantly. She played the first half and it's the best shape I've seen her in. She looks really, really fit. She looks really sharp. You can see the strength training that she's doing on a day-to-day basis, and also the quality of the player that she's training with now is bringing her game on massively. She's playing alongside a player called Inessa Kagman, and she's a Dutch international player, and she plays in the kind of number 10 role at Brighton. So Rhianna having the opportunity to play with players of that caliber and train alongside those every day has brought her game on massively from where she was at the end of last year when we played Ukraine here in Dublin. So and also the quality of the players, like Katie McKay plays for Arsenal. Katie's an incredible player, plays as a left winger, very fast, very dynamic, incredible set-piece deliveries, will score a goal from all sorts of ranges, as we saw for Arsenal at the weekend. She pinged a beauty with her left foot into the far corner of the goalkeeper's net. So she's lethal from set pieces. Her deliveries are excellent. And we are a very fast, dynamic, counter-attacking team. We have players who like to get into the space behind, run at players, take players on, really, really attacking. But then in defence, we've got really solid players, the likes of Diane Caldwell, Louise Quinn, and Niamh Fahey, who you've just spoken to there. So those three players are absolute stalwarts in defence. And they're also strong girls too, big, tall, excellent in the air. Diane and Louise are lethal from set pieces. So if you get those deliveries right, they're also another avenue that we can score from. But generally what Vera has probably done is she shored us up structurally, in terms of our defensive structure, so that we're all, the players are all really well connected, and that they have a structure, know their roles. And then once we establish ourselves in the game, we have those opportunities to counter-attack into. In the Ukraine game, they tended to play quite a high line and came and played against us and left themselves quite vulnerable. And that was where we got massive opportunities. So I would expect that we won't get that space in behind. I don't think Ukraine will play as high up the pitch as they did in Tala. And they will ask different questions of us. But we've got a really exciting, dynamic attacking team when we're in possession, and fast players who can get in behind and love to go 1v1. But then structurally, and from a defensive point of view, we've got some really good, solid, experienced players who can marshal that area of the pitch really well for us.
Jarrett was obviously leading the line on her own, very much against Germany, as many of us expected it the last day. But the previous day out against Montenegro, it looked at times, Lisa, like Ireland were playing two up front. What do you expect them to do on Friday?
I think it really depends on how people are training. Vera is very much of the mindset that she'll pick players who are in form and who are training really well. So she will allow that to an extent to dictate who's going to play. Amber Barrett's been in great form over in Germany recently as well. So she is definitely going to be in the thoughts, and it'll be an interesting one to see what way she does line up. Traditionally, if we would go with the 4-3-3, you know, we've got the likes of Denise O'Sullivan and Rusha Littlejohn, who can play as the two attacking midfielders in behind. And Denise as well, she's so solid that she can drop in and play in the holding midfielder or as that eight who will be a defensive midfielder and then add to the attack and go and break the lines. So I don't think she'll move away from the three in the middle. So whether she goes with a three or a five at the back, depending, to try and get the extra outlet from the wing backs, or and go with the two up front, she could certainly do that. Or she could go with the more traditional shape that we've tended to play, which is with the 4-3-3. Because I think we definitely have to respect Ukraine, but we don't want to respect them too much. We have a very, very good team. And for me, on paper, when you look at the Ukraine team and the standard of the leagues that those players are playing in versus the standard of the leagues that our players are playing against in, you know, man for man for me or woman for woman, we are a better team on paper and collectively, I think. And bear in mind, the Ukraine game was Vera's first game in charge as well. So, you know, there's a lot of, you know, I remember after that game, she was talking about the players being tigers and being, you know, so relentless and having that heart and fighting spirit. And it was right. But Ireland have that in spades. But now we have a bit more structure and that. So, you know, I think Vera will have her homework done really, really well. And whether we go with the two or the three up top, I think we'll be, you know, we'll be well. But we'll also be able to adapt and change it during the game as well, if need be.
Like, not to put the burden of responsibility on one person here, but I guess part of that dilemma between those two formations you mentioned is down to Katie McCabe. And I'd just be keen to get your take on whether or not she's better on the right of a front three or a bit deeper, either as a right midfielder or technically as a right wing back. Is she better coming onto the play or better with her back to goal?
Well, Katie would be on the left. Katie's left-footed, so she'd definitely be. She plays left-back for Arsenal, has done really all season and last season. So it was an interesting move. Arsenal just had a need there and they put her in there. But what Katie does is she brings an incredible attacking dimension. For me, I think Vera sees Katie more as an attacking player. And she prefers her higher up the pitch because she is that outlet for us. And she does have that massive quality of cross. It really depends. And she's a really good attacking outlet. So for me, I think Vera's preference is to play Katie higher up the pitch. And Katie is so dynamic and she's so clever. But then if she has to track back and do that extra bit of work, you almost get an extra defender with her in those moments of the game when you're out of possession. And if the opposition fullback comes, Katie gives you that extra dimension as well. So Katie can play either role. And from what I've seen of her with Arsenal over the last, really since September 2019, you know, I'd have no fears playing her in either position. But if you're really going to go for the game, I'd play her higher up the pitch.
Question about the goalkeeper as well. Marie Horan out through injury and she's been first choice. Grace Maloney's playing well for Reading at the moment. What's the light? Is it a straight swap? There's no real debate here, or is there actually a debate about who will start in goals for Ireland, do you think?
Yeah, I think there is a debate. I think Courtney Brosnan had been certainly in Vera's thoughts earlier in the campaign and stuff. So Courtney wouldn't be ruled out. The only problem is Courtney didn't start for West Ham the last weekend. So, you know, and Grace has been absolutely flying for Reading, as you said. She had a brilliant performance against West Ham a couple of weeks ago and she saved a penalty. So she's in really, really good form. And Vera does like to pick players who are in form. So I think she does have a decision to make there between Grace and Courtney Brosnan, and I think that is a definite decision that has to be made. Obviously, with Mari being out, dislocated her finger a couple of weeks ago, so that is a bit of a blow. But I think, you know, with both Courtney and Grace both playing in the WSL, and you think of the quality of the goal of the players that they're coming up against in that, you know, they're up against the likes of Sam Kerr, they're up against Vivian Miedema, they're up against Beth England, you know, all the top strikers. In Europe and the world, you know, Sam Kerr is the Australian captain, one of the best players in the world. She's at Chelsea. Vivian Miedema has the most ridiculous goal scoring record for her age. She broke the WSL scoring record with 50 goals in 49 games last weekend. She's an incredible player. And she's you know, Holland's top scorer as well. Lit up the World Cup and the European Championships a couple of years ago. So our goalkeepers are up against really, really good players on a weekly basis. So they're certainly getting to work out and play against top players. So for me, whether she goes with Grace is probably the goalkeeper that's more in form at the moment. Whether she goes with Grace or Courtney, both of them would be, you know, solid enough and you know, would have the capacity to play in a game like this.
Lisa, recently the club that you were with in England and yourself issued a press release saying that your relationship had come to an end as a result of the pandemic. It must be unbelievably disappointing because, you know, everybody should be familiar at this stage with how long you've soldiered to get to the point where you finally got fully charged of an outfit, and for the pandemic to take it away from you, it must have been very annoying.
Yeah, look, it was rough. It was rough, but I suppose when I took the job initially, yes, obviously I've been building towards it for a long time, and I wasn't sure that it would ever come, the moment, but when it did, I loved it. You know, it was really good. Enjoyed every moment of it, getting that opportunity to be on the pitch and start to put direction on things. And, you know, there was a lot of work that needed to be done at the club. And, you know, I was probably 4 or 5 months into that work, initially albeit by Zoom because we were under lockdown at the time. But yeah, the problem was my family are in Dublin and the team are in London, and trying to commute four times a week. And I've vulnerable members in my family at the moment. And it was just became really difficult to, and feeling that you're putting people at risk. Obviously, then the question of if there was a lockdown, where would I be? Would I be at home with my family in the event of another lockdown, or would I be in England? And, you know, if there comes a point where you just listen, I've given football an awful lot over the years. I've made huge sacrifices and my family have too. And just right now, I just felt that it's always going to be family first. It's always, always going to be family first. And listen, the beauty of football is there's always another game. And was I gutted? Absolutely, I was gutted. And in fairness, the club, when we had the initial conversations, they were, look, we'll give it another week. We'll see, can we find a solution? But it just got to a point where, you know, the travelling was becoming a problem, you know, and I just got to the point where I had to make the decision. And the decision, when you look at all the years of experience and what the potential is there and what we're doing and the amount of work we've got done and the buy-in from the players and how close we are and all of that. And, you know, all those things, I had to strip it all away and just go, right, who needs me right now more? And the answer was my family. So that just made it a straightforward decision, made the decision. And, you know, it was a tough decision, but it was the right decision. And, you know, like I say, when this all passes and we get everybody through it and we get through it on the right side, football will always be there. And, you know, I think I'm young enough to be able to go back in. And but right now, I just have to be based in Ireland. I have to be able to get to my family quickly at the moment if needs be. And so being home is where I need to be.
Well, listen, I've no doubt that there'll be another job opening up soon enough for you. Lisa, great to have you with us this morning, and thanks for helping to preview that game on Friday. Everybody's very excited about it now. Cheers.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Mind yourselves.
Lisa Fallon there giving us some thoughts on Ireland against Ukraine, which is due to take place 5 o'clock on Friday afternoon, and so much riding on it. You can read more on the WSL from Emma Carroll weekly on the OTB Sports app and on otbsports.com.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
The OTB Podcast Network with Virgin Media. Catch all of the UEFA Champions League and Europa League games live on Virgin Media TV.